Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see all of your lovely faces. Before we start, we have two brief announcements. I'm going to call quickly up now Julie, who's going to come and share with us a special announcement. And then Rebecca is going to come and represent the Gator Wesley Foundation. Julie?
Good morning. I just wanted to let everybody know or remind you that, guys that already knew, that this Wednesday night is our fourth annual spaghetti dinner fundraiser for the summer mission trips for ASP and Team Effort. Yay! And it's $5 for a ticket, or you can just come that night for $5. But we also have a drive-through option again this year, which has seemed to be very successful because you can just drive through the kitchen right here on your way home from work, and the kids will bring out box-up dinners for you with spaghetti and meatballs and salads. So please consider supporting the youth missions this Wednesday night. The drive-through is from 5 to 7, and the sit-down dinner is in the worship center at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And also, real quick, Carmen is in the back receiving all information regarding new members orientation. And if you would like to join the church today or a different Sunday, please stop by the table and let Carmen know that. Thank you so much, Carmen. And now for Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Becca. I'm a very recent UF grad and a four-year member of the Gator Wesley Foundation. And I could tell you a lot about Wesley. It's been a really special part of my life, and probably some former students here as well. I mean, it's been around since 1925. But as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. So I'm going to show you a brief video that highlights some of our outreach events we do through the year. Outreach is really important to us as a student church, both reaching out into our student communities, but also equipping our students to serve in their communities in the world.
Thank you again, Rebecca, for sharing that with us. Let me at this time welcome Garrison Goles and also Jan Richardson. Put your hands together for allowing them to, for them being with us this morning. Thank you. Welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together. And I'm going to now turn it over to Gary Garrison.
These are your instructions. Breathe, smile, sing. Now the first part goes like this. You'll pick it up real fast.
I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you.
Try that with me.
I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you.
Let's do it again.
I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you.
And the next part is,
loving God, you are my creator. I want to be with you.
Try that.
Loving God, you are my creator. I want to be with you.
And now the third part is the easiest, because all you really have to do is repeat after me when I say,
will you tell me, show me, teach me to live in your light. I want to hear you, see you, know you every day of my life, and I will put my faith in you. Sometimes I find myself swept on the tide of everyday human events. All of these well-intentioned leaders solving our problems and predicaments, I get so discouraged. Sometimes I just want to throw it all in. Then I remember that they're not the ones. They don't have the answer, so don't look to them.
Here we go.
I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you. I will put my faith in you.
Loving God,
you are my creator. I want to be with you. Oh, will you tell me, show me, teach me. Teach me to live in your light. I want to hear you, see you, know you every day of my life. And I will put my faith in you. Out across this wilderness, oh, it's famine and feast. I'm just stumbling along here. Nature of the beast. You know the way. You know the way. Sometimes I find myself carried along, caught up in the human parade. All of these well-intentioned politicians rush to the front of the lost escapade. Oh, I get so discouraged. Just want to throw it all in. Then I remember they're not the one. They don't have the answers, so don't look to them.
Where you gonna look? Ready? Here we go.
I will put my faith in you. 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 Loving God, you are my creator. I want to be with you. Will you tell me? Show me. Teach me. To live in your light. I want to hear you, see you, know you every day of my life. Will you tell me, show me, teach me to live in your light. I want to hear you, see you, know you every day of my life. And I will put my faith, I will put my faith, oh, I'm gonna put my faith in you.
Nice job.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Garrison. Friends, at this time, will you bow your heads with me for a brief moment of prayer? Gracious God, I'm reminded of Psalm 133, which says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity." Gracious God, we thank you for the unity represented here today by way of your love, your mercy, and your grace. And God, at this time, we just welcome your presence in our midst. We pray for those who are sick and ill within the hospitals. We ask that you'll just make your way to them and wrap your loving arms around them and heal them, renew and restore them. And be with us, oh God, your united community of faith. Bless us, oh Lord, this morning with your presence. We pray a special prayer on behalf of Jan and Garrison as they will continue to minister through song and word. And God, we just thank you so much for their gifts and their graces. God, we pray for all of the ministries that make up this church. We pray that you will also be with Dan and Jan as they are away, resting on vacation. Bring them back home safely, oh God. And God, be with us, oh Lord, and our families throughout the summer break. And oh God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever we pray, amen, amen.
Let me out of this boat, I wanna walk out across that water. I hear Jesus is calling, gonna meet him halfway. I'm only a man, I can't even swim. I'm gonna walk out across that water with my Lord. Let me out of this boat, I wanna set my faith in motion. Yes, and I will not be bound by the limits I have known. Oh, everything is changed, you might think it's strange. Gonna walk out across that water with my Lord. It's courage, oh, do not be afraid. Every step along the way, Jesus says, come on, Peter. Courage, oh, you have little faith. Can't you just step out on those waves? I'm here to save you. You're gonna make it. You got your own miracles going on. Watches of the night, you're trying to make your way to me. I know the doubts will overtake you. Well, I know the night is dark, but I will always find you. Before you slip beneath the waves, come. Lift your head up, reach your hand out, it is time. Let me out of this boat, I'm gonna walk out across that water. I see Jesus is coming, oh, that's enough for me. I don't know how, but I'm going right now. I'm gonna walk out across that water with my Lord. He said, courage, oh, do not be afraid. And every step along the way, and Jesus said, come on, Peter. Courage, oh, be a little faith. Can't you just step out on those waves? I'm here to save you. You almost made it. Had your own miracle going on.
Thank you. Well, I'm Garrison Doles, and they only allow me in civilized society because I'm married to Jan Richardson. Some of you know her, I know. And if you're wondering why you never heard any of these songs, it's because I wrote them. I'm a songwriter. Here's a song about St. Patrick. And there's a part you can sing along with me on this, and I hope you will. Your part goes like this. Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me, there will I go. Into all nations, all situations, you will be with me wherever I go. Try that. Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me, there will I go. Into all nations, all situations, you will be with me wherever I go. What if I were called across the ocean to the land where I have been slave? Could I be a loving teacher to the makers of my chains? Oh, Patrick on the water, can you see the Irish shore? Can you find your way by following the calling of the Lord? Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me, there will I go. Into all nations, all situations, will be with me wherever I go. Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me, there will I go. Into all nations, all situations, you will be with me wherever I go. I arise today by the powerful hand of the Creator of all creation. I arise today by the birth and baptism, crucified and arisen, and ever my shield, and ever before me, and ever beside me, and ever behind me, and ever above me, and in every heart, and in every mind, of everyone who finds me here. Whenever I am called across my borders and the limits of my faith, will I give myself into care of Jesus' saving grace? Oh, Patrick on the water, can you see the Irish shore? Can you find your way by following the calling of the Lord? Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me,
there will I go into all nations, all situations. You will be with me wherever I go. Wherever you send me, there will I find you. Wherever you lead me, there will I go into all nations, all situations. You will be with me wherever I go. I rise today.
Beautiful. Friends, will you stand at this time and share the peace with your neighbor? Why don't you tell your neighbor, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right. God bless you. You may be seated. Where are the other ushers? Come on down. There you go. All right. As they come, let us pray. Gracious God, you indeed are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we thank you for the gift of the Gator Wesley Foundation and our partnership with the Gator Wesley Foundation. God, now we ask your blessing upon this offering, O Lord, that you will take it and use it for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you.
At sunrise of creation, when the dark gave way to the night, it was Jesus brought creation out of the deepest well of the night. And he walked on this earth, yes, he walked upon this earth. He was right there all along from the beginning. The hours have I puzzled this mysterious gospel of John. I just can't seem to get my mind around it. How could there ever be such a one? But he walked on this earth. He came and he walked up on this earth. He was right there all along from the beginning. Though the word was made through him, you could see that they never really knew him. And when he showed up to be with his own, they disowned him, turned him away. But for all who believed him, and every last one who received him, he gathered around him, brought them to be in the family of God. Don't you remember, you're in the family of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was God. And he walked on this earth, yes, he walked upon this earth. He was right there all along, oh yes, right here all along. You know he's been right here all along from the beginning.
And welcome. It is indeed great to be home. Gary and I are so grateful for your hospitality this morning. David asked me earlier this morning if much has changed since I grew up at Trinity a few years back. And I said, well, you know, I grew up over at the 8th Avenue property, so that's been a huge change. But in terms of the spirit of the community and the spirit present in worship on Sunday mornings, things remain very much wonderfully the same, and I am tremendously grateful for that and glad to have this opportunity to come home again. The respective ministries that Gary and I are in and shared ministry frequently have us traveling across the country. That's wonderful in its own way, but it is always wonderful to come back to our home in Florida. We're based in Orlando, and it is always wonderful to come to this home here in Gainesville and here at Trinity. So thank you for your presence and your welcome here this morning. Special thanks to David and all who have been part of preparing for this worship service this morning. And I want to say I'm so happy to have Becca here this morning from Gator Wesley. I did go to Florida State. I will be open about that here in this place. Had a fantastic experience there. But want to say that the Wesley Foundation at Florida State was a tremendously important part of my experience of college and my experience of my own faith journey. The Wesley Foundation at FSU not only provided a remarkable Christian community during that time in my life, that formative time in my life, but it also was crucially important to me as I began to discern my call to ordained ministry. I'm not sure that I would be here this morning had it not been for the Wesley Foundation, as well as for the congregation and community here at Trinity that did so much and continue to do so much to support and sustain me in my ministry. And so I especially want to affirm and lift up the ministry of Gator Wesley and to thank Becca and others who are in ministry there and to encourage you to support that crucially important ministry. Our scripture this morning comes from the opening chapter of Luke's Gospel, and I chose the scripture this morning. It's one that we actually typically don't hear until the Advent and Christmas season. And so I chose the scripture this morning not only because here in these July days it might be nice to have a taste of Christmas here in July, but actually as we hear the story this morning, we will be reminded that after all, this story tells of a day that happened not close to the time of Jesus' birth, but months and months in advance of it. And so the story that Luke tells in this passage is a great reminder that in every season, in any season, God is always waiting to show up in the midst of our most ordinary days. And this is the story that Luke tells. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Sarah, and to their descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Would you pray with me? O God, who has given us the gift of this new day, inscribe your word on our hearts, that we may become your living word in a world hungry to hear. In the name of Christ, our word made flesh. Amen. So this is one way that I imagine the scene that immediately precedes, that leads into the story that we have just heard, that Luke tells us this morning. Mary has just said yes to the archangel Gabriel, who has come to ask her to become the mother of God. She has offered her courageous let it be. She has offered her audacious yes. And Gabriel splits. He, with a shimmering rush of wind, Gabriel is suddenly gone. He has split. The light in the room slowly returns to normal. The objects resume their familiar shapes. Mary looks around, places her head and her two hands and says, "It seemed like a good idea at the time." As Mary looks around that room, she becomes intensely aware that the angel who has just left gave her no map before he fled the scene. He didn't put a guidebook or a blueprint in her hands that would tell her how to become the mother of the Messiah in 10 easy steps. How do you live into that kind of call? Gabriel didn't really pay a lot of attention to that piece of the invitation, this outrageous thing that he had asked Mary to do. But what Gabriel did do before he left was this. He pointed Mary toward a road that would take her to the home of her kinswoman, her cousin, Elizabeth, who, as Gabriel has just told Mary, was pregnant with a very unusual pregnancy of her own. In Elizabeth's, shall we say, wise years, she has become pregnant with the child that we would come to know as John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. Gabriel tells Mary that Elizabeth is already 6 months along. And Mary, I love Luke's detail in telling us this. Luke tells us that Mary loses no time. She goes with haste, Luke says. She goes with haste to the home of her cousin Elizabeth. Mary must have somehow known this young Mary, this pregnant Mary, this unmarried Mary must have known that in Elizabeth's home, in Elizabeth's presence, she would find a place of safety, a place of welcome, a place of hospitality and grace. And she goes, and sure enough, Mary has no more than walked through the doorway and offered her greeting than Elizabeth recognizes, understands what has happened to Mary. And Elizabeth welcomes her and pulls her through the doorway, brings her into her home. And Elizabeth blesses Mary. She not only welcomes Mary, but she blesses her for what she has just agreed to do. And it's an amazing blessing that Elizabeth lays on Mary. She blesses her up one side and down the other. And we just heard the words a moment ago. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women." She cries it out. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." That's a blessing. And I love how so many of the artists in the Middle Ages depicted this scene. They oftentimes painted Elizabeth with her hands outstretched toward Mary, reaching out toward Mary in an ancient gesture of blessing that echoes the words of blessing that Elizabeth is speaking with her voice to Mary. And Mary receives this. She absorbs this blessing. She soaks it up. She wallers in it, if I can use that theological term. It is a balm and a grace that Elizabeth offers to Mary in this blessing. And having received this blessing, having walked into this place of welcome, Mary lets loose with that song. That song that we have come to know as the Magnificat, which is that's a Latin word that comes from the opening line of the song where Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary, having been blessed, offers a song. And as she sings, she tells about a God who has turned the world upside down. Or perhaps it's right side up, rather. She sings of a God who blesses not only her, Mary, but she sings of a God who blesses the world, who transforms the world, who heals and restores the world. But Mary does a curious thing here in the way that she sings. She actually sings as if God has already accomplished these things. God has lifted up the lowly, Mary sings. God has filled the hungry with good things. Mary uses a tense here that we actually don't have in the English language. This tense that describes how God has already accomplished these things in a world where we can look around and see they haven't actually been accomplished. Mary sings about these things as if they have already happened, but she knows, as we know in our own present day, that in chronological time, in linear time, there is still great pain and suffering present in the world that God has not righted, has not turned right side up, has not healed, that still persists. But Mary sings as if God has done these things, has turned the world right side up. There's a fancy theological term, fancy theological word for what it is that Mary does here. As she sings about the God who has already accomplished the healing and restoration of the world. And the word that describes that fancy theological word that describes what Mary does is hope. Hope is the fancy word. Mary has moved into an amazing place of hope as she sings. Mary, in singing about the God who has already healed the world, has, in her singing, has begun to lean into a realm in which God has somehow, even though we can't always see it, has brought about the things that Mary sings about. And hope means the kind of hope that Mary sings about, the kind of hope that Mary sings out of, that hope asks us not to turn our face away from the world. This is not a Pollyanna kind of thing that paints, that glosses everything over and says everything is okay. Hope asks us to turn our faces squarely toward the world, to recognize that there is brokenness in the midst of the world. But hope reminds us that the brokenness does not have the final word. It does not have the final say. Hope invites us to begin to lean into that realm where God has already healed the brokenness and restored the world in ways that we don't always perceive in our chronological and linear time, but in some realm God has already worked out. Hope asks us to lean into that realm, and it asks us not only to lean into that realm, but to offer ourselves to participate with God in helping create the kind of world that Mary sings about in her song. That is hope. God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. It's no wonder that Jesus turns out like he does, with a mother who can sing a song like that of what God has done already in this world. But the thing is that this song did not originate with Mary. The song that Mary offers, the song that Luke gives us from Mary's lips, is actually an echo of a song that Mary's foremother Hannah sang generations earlier. Hannah was a woman who experienced an unusual pregnancy of her own. And finally, after long, long, long praying and waiting, gave birth to a son named Samuel, a son who would change the history of the people of Israel. When Hannah came to the temple to dedicate her son to God, she lifted up a song of hopeful praise, and we hear that song on Mary's lips generations later, with her own inflection, out of her own experience. But what Mary does when she lifts up her song, when she begins to sing of the God whom her soul magnifies and praises, what Mary does in that moment is she steps into an ancient river of hope that flows from the heart of God across the generations through Hannah and those who followed. Mary steps into that river of hope and joins with the generations of people who have believed in God, in what God would do, and who offered themselves for the healing and redemption of the world as people in whom God worked to right the world. How do we, in our own day, how do we in our own time step into that ancient river of hope that Hannah stepped into, that Mary stepped into, that people across the generations have stepped into? How do we in our own time wade into those waters that have been flowing from the heart of God for generations, that flow through the generations, that flow still through this world that is broken, but that calls us, asks us to sing like Mary of a God who has already brought about the healing of the world? What does it mean to do that? How do we do that? When I think of these kinds of questions, I often find myself thinking of a story that Janet Wolfe tells. Janet is a United Methodist pastor who used to serve in a congregation in Nashville called Hobson United Methodist Church. Janet describes Hobson as a widely, wildly diverse congregation of folks from, as Janet says, people with PhDs, as well as people who never made it past the third grade. There are people who have two homes, as well as people who have no home to call their own. Janet says one person at Hobson who struggles with mental illness says, there are people at Hobson who are crazy and those who think they're not. All these folks and more make up the wildly diverse congregation. and community at Hobson, and it was to this community that a woman named Fayette made her way one day. Fayette was a young woman who lived with many challenges. She had lupus. She struggled with mental illness. She had no home to call her own, but she found a family in the community at Hobson. Fayette joined the new member class, and she was fascinated in particular by their conversation about baptism. She had not been baptized herself, but she heard Pastor Janet, describe baptism as this holy moment in which we receive God's grace that is so powerful that it won't come undone. And boy, that hooked Fayette. She was sold. And she would took to again and again in the course of the new member classes, week after week, she would break into the conversation and say, "And when I'm baptized, I am..." And the congregation learned to say back to her, "Beloved, precious child of God, and beautiful to behold." And Fayette would say, "Oh, yes," and they could continue on their conversational way until Fayette broke in again and again. "And when I'm baptized, I am." And finally, the day of Fayette's baptism came. She joined with the other new members in joining the church, and she was baptized, went down beneath the waters, came spluttering up from the waters of her baptism. She turned to the congregation, and she cried out, "And now I am." And they sang back to her, "Beloved, precious child of God, and beautiful to behold." And Fayette said, "Oh, yes," and went dancing around the congregation. A couple of months later, Pastor Janet received a phone call from the county hospital. Fayette was there. She had been brutally attacked and beaten. Janet immediately went to the hospital, got to the floor where Fayette was. As she was walking down the hall, she could see Fayette in a room in the distance, pacing back and forth. As Janet drew closer, she could see Fayette's lips moving. As Janet arrived, stood in the doorway, she heard Fayette saying, "I am beloved, precious child." And then she saw her pastor standing there, and she started again, "I am a beloved, precious child." And then Fayette turned, looked at herself in the mirror, saw her hair sticking up, blood and tears streaking her face. She saw her dress that was torn and dirty and had been buttoned back wrong. And she said, "I am a beloved, precious child of God." And then she turned to Janet and said, "And God is still working on me. And if you come back tomorrow, I'll be so beautiful, I'll take your breath away." And I have to believe that in that moment of aching, stubborn, beautiful, heartbreaking hope, these two women, Fayette and Janet, stepped into that ancient river that flows from the heart of God across the generations. They stepped into the river that Elizabeth stepped into when she welcomed Mary in and offered that blessing. Fayette and Janet step into that river of hope like Mary did when she received that blessing and cried out, poured out a song about what God had already accomplished in this world. They step into that ancient river of hope that Hannah stepped into generations before Mary and Elizabeth. They step into that ancient river of hope that generations upon generations of people have stepped into as they have offered their lives, their bodies, their very selves, not only as a sign of God's transforming power in the world, but is a place where God was working to bring about that transformation. And so we are called to step into that ancient river of hope in our own lives, in our own world. We're called to step into that river of hope like Elizabeth did, and to bless and welcome those whom God has called to do what may seem impossible. We step into that river of hope when we, like Mary, receive a blessing and tell forth what God is doing in our lives and in the world, when we offer our own audacious and outrageous yes. We step into that ancient river of hope when we, like Hannah, lift up our song. We step into that ancient river of hope when we recognize that we are part of a lineage of people who have said yes to God and offered their lives as a place of God's transforming work in the world. And we step into that river of hope when we remember the waters by which we were baptized with a grace so powerful that it won't come undone. We step into that river of hope when we remember that we have been named, are named, continue to be named, beloved, precious, children of God who are, I will tell you, standing up here where I can see you, beautiful to behold. And so as we prepare to go from this place today, out into a world that is still broken, but also called to recognize the beauty in its midst and to lean into that realm in which God has already restored the world and offer ourselves to work with God to bring about that world that Mary sings about. As we prepare to do that, I want to offer you a blessing. Like Elizabeth offered Mary a blessing, I want to offer you a blessing that you may go forth with some of the courage of the foremothers and the forefathers who came before us in the faith, that we may step into that river of hope. And this is how the blessing goes that I offer for you this day. Oh, my friends, you who see the world that both dazzles us and causes us to despair, you who do not turn away from the brokenness, but bring forth the beauty that is within its midst, may you be like Elizabeth, a bearer of blessing and a space of sanctuary. May you sing like Mary, with a hope that sees the world already made whole. May you lean into the lineage of those who traveled with no map except the one emblazoned on their heart. Those who knew there is cause for fear, but there is greater cause for love. Those who carry you along with their courage when you cannot claim it for yourself. May you step into the river of God that knows the way that it is going, that bears you along when you grow weary, that echoes with the voices of those who sing with you and who name you, beloved, precious, child of God, and beautiful to behold. Amen. The sacrament of communion. I love for many reasons, not least of which is that the celebration of communion the table of communion is a place where we are called to remember that river of hope that God calls us to, that generations before us have stepped into. This table is a place that reminds us that when we gather here to celebrate the feast by which Christ sustains and feeds us for our work in the world, for our hoping in this world, this place reminds us that when we gather not only as those of us who are physically present in this place, but we gather also with brothers and sisters around the world who gather at their hopeful tables. And we gather with the communion of saints, those who have gone before us in the faith, who continue to sustain us and bless us in our journey, and who somehow gather with us and celebrate here in this place. And so we remember how in the beginning the Spirit of God hovered over the chaos. And word by word, God spoke the world into being. Light and dark, sun and moon and stars, animals that walked the earth, fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Word by word, God created day by day and called it good. We remember how God created us, male and female, in God's own image and likeness, and sent us on our way. We remember how time and again we chose to turn away from the one who had created us. But we remember also how God has always stood waiting to welcome us home, hoping for us. We remember how in the fullness of time, God put on flesh and came to us as a child, an infant, in the person of Christ. We remember how Jesus reached out to those who had been cast out from the community. We remember how Jesus touched and healed those considered unclean. We remember how Jesus engaged women and children in conversation, as well as the men. We remember how Jesus loved to gather at the table with all kinds of people. We remember how Jesus taught, blessed, challenged, confronted, stretched those who heard him, and we remember how he loved. We remember here at this table how on the night before Jesus gave himself up for us, he gathered his friends at the table one more time. And at the table, Jesus took the bread, broke it, blessed it, shared it with his friends and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body that I give for you, and as often as you eat, eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, shared it with his friends and said, "Take and drink, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you drink, drink in remembrance of me, and I will be there with you." And so we come to eat, to drink, to remember, to celebrate, to come in our pain, to come in our hope. We come to celebrate this feast, and we pray that the Spirit who hovered over the chaos at the beginning would come and hover over and inhabit these gifts, that they may become for us the body and the blood of Christ, and that we may become for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his love. And so everything has been made ready. The bread that we break is a sharing in the life of Christ. The cup that we receive is a sharing in his life, the one who is our light and our stubborn, beautiful hope. I invite you to come and to join in this feast. All who hunger, all who thirst, all who seek to follow Christ are welcome to come and to join in this feast. As Gary offers the closing song, which you are welcome to sing along with, you're welcome to come to the tables to receive what has been offered and prepared and given for you.
Draw us closer to you. You can sing this with me. Draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to you. We walk upon this world so beautiful and terrifying, clinging to this sweet, sweet life, living in this dying. We are gathered at this stone on this day, on this day. Let the gates of heaven be open, the walls of heaven fall away. We'll be no more divided from the longing of our hearts. Let this world lie gently in your arms. In your arms. Draw us closer to you. 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 We journey through this life, mysterious and unforgiving. We are bound to this hard, hard earth, dying in this living. Shed our tears upon this stone, on this day, let the gates of heaven be open, the walls of heaven fall away. We'll be no more divided from the longing of our hearts. Let this world lie gently in your arms. in your arms. Draw us closer, closer, closer to you. 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 Draw us closer, closer, closer to you.
And so may we go into the world with the peace of the God who created us in God's own image and likeness. May we go with the peace, the sometimes challenging peace of the Christ who calls us and who does not leave us. May we go with the peace of the Spirit who hopes for us and with us and seeks to make us one. Go in peace. Amen.